Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now it is a great privilege to welcome to the program Dr. Wayne Grudem, who's very respected as a theology professor. He went to Harvard, by the way, and his best-known book, I think, is Politics According to the Bible, a major, major book. He's also written systematic theology as well as 20 books total. Dr. Grudem, or more than 20. Dr. Grudem, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, it's good to be here, Jerry. Thank you.
Sure. Now, you wrote a piece for townhall.com a few weeks ago called Why Voting for Donald Trump is a Morally Good Choice. And it's really, that is what I want to talk about. We hear so many Christians say, hey, Trump is the lesser of two evils, but he's still evil, and I can't vote for somebody who's evil.
Yeah. Well, nobody's perfect in this life, that's for sure. I guess my thought on that, Jerry, is that we're not voting for a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't approve of Donald Trump to be pastor of my local church because his moral character doesn't show a history of being above reproach. And yet, if we're looking for who's going to be the best president of the United States, I think we have to decide on based on what would be best for the nation and who would bring the best leadership to the nation. And there, I think on many, many issues, Trump's positions are far superior to those of Hillary Clinton, and Trump's positions are more in accord with what I understand to be biblical principles of moral and spiritual values, the principles that he would bring to government.
All right, for example?
Well, first of all, the Supreme Court. He promises to, and he's given several examples of judges that he would appoint who uphold the Constitution in its original meaning, rather than liberal judges who impose their own meaning on the text and tell us what the Constitution means when it didn't really mean that in the first place, but they just use that to impose their own liberal ideas on the country, as we saw with same-sex marriage, as we saw in 1973 with abortion, with the Roe v. Wade decision, as we saw in 1971 with the Lemon v. Kurtzman decision on religious freedom, and many other cases. And I don't think that we should be ruled by unelected judges. I think we should be governed by elected representatives in Congress and the executive branch.
Mm-hmm.
So that's number one, but oh my goodness.
Oh, can I stop you right there? Yeah. I have a friend that I've been, I'm sure we all have these kind of little water cooler type conversations and so forth, but I have a friend who is a never Trumper. And
right.
I've mentioned that particular thing about the Supreme Court, and his comment is, well, what makes you think that Donald Trump will fulfill his promise to appoint? You know, if he did appoint the judges that he said or any of those people in that list, great, but I don't think he will because he's not a man of his word. That's basically
the
idea.
That's what I'm hearing a lot from people who decide not to vote for Trump. He'll do the opposite of what he says. But that's an irrational position in politics as far as I can tell. You don't ever say, I'm going to vote for a candidate because he's going to do the opposite of what he says. You say, I'm going to vote for or against a candidate based on what he says he will do. And politicians may change their mind on one or another individual thing, but never in history has any presidential candidate become president and then changed his mind on the major issues of the day, as far as I know, and the major issues of the election. So saying, I'm going to vote against Trump because it's saying, I'm going to vote against Trump or not vote for him, because he favors positions I support, but I don't think he means it. I mean, how do you know that? And Hillary Clinton surely favors positions that we oppose as Christians, on abortion, on same-sex marriage, and I think on the role of government, too, because Trump has promised lower taxes, which I think means businesses growing and jobs for people who need jobs and better jobs for people who have jobs. That's a concern for Christians who should be concerned for the poor and the economic health of the nation. So that's a major issue. With regard to minorities, I think two of the biggest difficulties minorities face in the United States are inadequate educational systems in the inner cities and, again, inadequate opportunities for good jobs. And Trump favors school choice. Hillary does not. School choice will solve the education problem in the inner cities, is my understanding. And lower taxes, again, will lead to the spread of more business growth and more jobs. So education and jobs for minorities, I think, are a major reason to vote for Trump. and taxes and economic growth, lower taxes, re-strengthening the military, strengthening our border, effectively countering terrorism and ISIS, effectively standing up to China and Russia, defending Israel, approving the Keystone oil pipeline and more oil drilling, leading to lower energy costs, which is good for everybody, repealing Obamacare and giving us a workable health care system in the nation. I mean, there are many issues where, and people can differ on this, Jerry, and I know on some of these issues that I've mentioned, Christians might differ, but my own reading and the issues that I advocated in my book, Politics According to the Bible, it seems that Republican candidates generally, and Trump in particular, are lining up with the policies that I think are more consistent with Christian values. And so there's a list of issues. So that's where I stand on that question. But I understand that people can disagree, and I have good friends that I know are disagreeing with me on this, and I just hope that we don't lose our tempers with each other, but can realize that we have a great reason for Thanksgiving, that we're in a democracy where we're able to express different opinions and vote.
Well, we have that freedom.
A number of countries where you can't.
Yeah, that's very true. Let's talk a little bit about religious liberty, because that's a huge difference, I think, in approach between the different candidates.
It's a huge difference, and you know, it seems to me, I should have mentioned that earlier, Jerry, because I had a list here in front of me, and that was on the previous page. But religious liberty comes right up there immediately after the Supreme Court in terms of the direction of the nation. It really is going to boil down to Supreme Court justices. And if Trump is elected and appoints conservative justices who rule according to the First Amendment, which does a good job of protecting freedom of religion, then I think we'll be okay. And if Hillary Clinton gets in, then we get liberal justices who really threaten religious liberty with regard to bakers, florists, photographers who in good conscience don't want to lend their artistic talents to an event, a same-sex marriage ceremony. And around the country at lower court levels, they've already been fined and driven out of business. Pharmacists in Washington State, looks like they're going to be closed down because they don't want to dispense abortion-causing medicines. Many other issues. Christians have been forced out of various occupations, the fire chief in Atlanta, a doctor in Boston, all for Christian convictions. And that just would increase with an election of Hillary Clinton. And I think it would, our religious liberty would be much more protected with Trump as president and Supreme Court justices that he appoints. Hmm. He also has pledged to work for the repeal of the 1954 Johnson Amendment to the IRS Code, which has basically muzzled many pastors, I think wrongfully so, and I don't think they need to be as concerned as they are, but still it's frightened many pastors into not speaking about political issues at all. And Trump has said, I'll work to repeal that 1954 Johnson Amendment to the IRS Code so that, once again, freedom of speech is restored to churches and pastors with regard to political issues. I think that would be wonderful.
You know, it is absolutely true that the dominant mainstream media in America has a stranglehold of so much of the information people get. So when you talk about, and I want to go back to this religious liberty issue because it is of great value to Christians, if you just followed the mainstream media, you wouldn't know about these kinds of cases, or if you did hear it, you would hear it from such a biased, slanted slot. You wouldn't even know that the person opposing same-sex marriage was an intelligent person that, you know, just biblically did not believe this was the case. So let's take a moment and look at one of these examples. Okay. There's an African-American who was, fire chief, I believe, in one of the cities near, he's fire chief in
Atlanta.
Okay. Tell us about how did he get fired? And by the way, I understand he is fighting back, thankfully, through the courts with the Alliance Defending Freedom. Yeah, but he lost his job. You're right. You're right. But tell us, why did he get fired? Why did he get fired?
Well, he's an evangelical Christian. He wrote a religious book that talked about the Bible's teachings He self-published it. He didn't have it. It didn't have anything to do with his performance at his job. But he self-published this book, and it mentioned the Bible's teachings on non-marital sexual conduct, including homosexuality, amidst a number of other topics in the book. And there was an outcry against him by people in Atlanta, and he lost his job, even though he was a highly decorated, highly honored fire chief and had a national position with regard to fire prevention in the United States. I've forgotten, but President Obama had appointed him to a high position, and even that highly regarded a fire chief lost his job because he was a Christian, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, and we saw what happened in Houston a few years ago where the sermons of pastors were subpoenaed because they opposed the pastors and all these different Christian groups and so forth, and a lot of other just common, decent people in Houston opposed transgender bathrooms, and the lesbian mayor was upset about that, so she actually subpoenaed the sermons. That's the kind of environment we live in, and these judges have helped create this environment. And you're saying there's a big difference between Trump and Clinton when it comes to future judges.
That's right. Just very recently, June 28th of 2016, a dissenting opinion published by three conservative justices on the Supreme Court, Justice Samuel Alito, Justice Clarence Thomas, and Chief Justice John Roberts. They had very strong wording about the Supreme Court not hearing this case of a Washington pharmacy that's being forced out of business because they won't dispense abortion-causing drugs. These three Supreme Court justices said in their dissent, there is much evidence that the impetus for adoption of the regulations was hostility to pharmacists whose religious beliefs regarding abortion and contraception are out of step with prevailing opinion in the state. And they said those who value religious freedom have great cause for concern. They said if this is a sign of how religious liberty claims will be treated in the years ahead, and I know they're speaking to the four liberals on the Supreme Court,
they're
saying if you're going to act this way, anybody who has a concern about freedom of religion has great cause for concern because they've got four votes out of nine right now and there's an empty seat. If they get the fifth vote, they'll just squash religious liberty for Christians in all sorts of occupations. And I'm very concerned that Christians will be increasingly pushed out of one occupation after another, medical occupations, counseling occupations, artistic occupations, public service like fire chief, and corporate occupations like the head of Mozilla Firefox.
Yeah,
Brendan Eich was forced out of his position. And Christians will be increasingly marginalized to the fringes of society unless they're willing to compromise their beliefs of conscience and their Christian convictions. So it's an ominous situation. Liberals are within one vote of having a 5-4 majority on the Supreme Court. And I just believe if that happens, if Hillary Clinton is elected and that happens, we'll just have religious liberty trampled as one decision after another is forced on us by the Supreme Court, as they forced on us same-sex marriage and as they forced on us abortion rights in 1973.
Yeah, and here, this is a country that was founded by Christians for religious liberty and then extended that liberty to everybody, and now we're losing ours. And the interesting thing is, just look at the dynamics here. Four liberal justices, we totally agree with that. Four conservative justices? Well, three conservative justices, but that fourth one is Anthony Kennedy, and he's the one who actually wrote the same-sex marriage decision. He's the one who salvaged Roe v. Wade when it was up for grabs in the Casey decision going back to 1992. So, you know, if that's a conservative, good heavens, you know, we're really in trouble. But I agree. Okay, how about a closing thought? We're basically out of time, but a closing thought on what's at stake in the 2016 presidential election.
Well, let me say, Jerry, I wish we had a different nominee than Donald Trump. I'm not proud of many of the things that he's done. On the other hand, I don't think he's the evil candidate that many people make him out to be, and I think the liberal press has distorted a number of things and portrayed him in much more negative light than need be. I think he's basically a blue-collar billionaire who's been shrewd and made a lot of money in business and who wants to do good for the country, and I believe he sincerely is a patriot and wants to make America great again. So I know that people will vote against him because they say he'll do the opposite of what he promises, but I am very sure that Hillary Clinton is going to do exactly what she promises.
Mm.
And that's trouble. And I think there's a very strong likelihood that Trump will do most of what he promises and bring good for the nation. So that's why I wrote that article saying I think it's a morally good decision to vote for a flawed candidate who nonetheless has good policies and will bring good for the nation.
Thank you so much for joining us. Wayne Grudem, GRUDEM.com for more information. God bless you, sir.
Thank you, Jerry.
Okay, bye-bye.